Have you ever felt comfortable questioning the intelligence of someone that has multiple degrees, including a doctorate, has been a distinguished professor, an international best-selling author, published in multiple peer-reviewed scholarly publications, a biologist? Would you feel comfortable questioning the intelligence of such a person? It's a strange thing, but I'm doing it right now. Richard Dawkins is probably the world's most famous atheist. He's been debating Christians and speaking on God's existence for decades. In a recent interview, he explained how he likes living in a Christian country, even though he doesn't believe a word of what Christianity teaches. This view is unbelievable to me. The man has made it his life's mission to prove all religion false and encourage people to question and subsequently abandon their faith. He's now singing a different tune. What gives? What caused this change? We'll go into that. But to think that you can have a Christian culture without a Christian faith is laughable. Once I was talking to someone who is much wiser than me, a very smart man by all measures. And he said, that leap of faith to Jesus is one thing. But if you look at all the evidence and conclude that there is no God or no higher power, then you're just an idiot. At the time, I didn't accept such a statement.
Yeah.
There are many intelligent people who have concluded that for whatever reason. But Richard Dawkins is making me reconsider. Welcome to Bulletproof Faith, and as you heard in the intro, we're talking about Richard Dawkins, probably the world's most famous atheist. Jordan, I'm sure you're familiar with this guy.
Yeah.
Richard Dawkins. So he is in the news and in the popular media and things these days for a statement, a couple of statements on an interview that he just recently did. So we're going to get into this, but real quick, we're going to play some clips from this interview just so that you guys know it. So let's roll that.
What would be your Easter message? I've said a few things. What would you tell the nation?
Well, I must say I was slightly horrified to hear that Ramadan is being promoted instead. I do think that we are culturally a Christian country. I call myself a cultural Christian. I'm not a believer. But there's a distinction between being a believing Christian and being a cultural Christian. And so, you know, I love hymns and Christmas carols, and I sort of feel at home in the Christian ethos. I feel that we are a Christian country in that sense. It's true that statistically the number of people who actually believe in Christianity is going down, and I'm happy with that. But I would not be happy if, for example, we lost all our cathedrals and our beautiful parish churches. So I count myself a cultural Christian. I think it would matter if we, certainly if we substituted any alternative religion, that would be truly dreadful.
Well, which brings me to my supplementary point, which is that, as we know, church attendance is plummeting, but the erection of mosques across Europe, I think 6,000 are under construction, and there are many more, I mean, are being planned. So do you regard that as a problem? Do you think that matters?
Yes, I do, really. I mean, I choose my words carefully. I mean, if I had to choose between Christianity and Islam, I choose Christianity every single time. I mean, it seems to me to be a fundamentally decent religion in a way that I think Islam is not. And I find that I like to live in a culturally Christian country, although I do not believe a single word of the Christian faith.
Do you think it provides a solid foundation, that we would lose something if, let's say, there was a Muslim majority?
Well, yes. I think the king, when he was Prince of Wales, was actually rather sympathetic towards Islam, and one of the problems I felt. No, I think it would be a terrible thing. And insofar as Christianity can be seen as a bulwark against Islam, I think it's a very good thing. I mean, in Africa, for example, where you have missionaries of both faiths operating, I'm on team Christian side as far as that's concerned.
Is that amazing or what? I mean,
you can't help but laugh at that.
It's unbelievable. Chuckle. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So, a couple of quick points here. This is the world's leading atheist basically begging for Christianity to come back, yeah, to have a resurgence. It's better than Islam, he says. But a couple of statements here that just like shocked me. You know, he says, we are a Christian nation, talking about the UK.
Mm-hmm.
He said he feels at home in the Christian ethos. It's the world's leading atheist. And I just started thinking about, okay, how can you say that and, you know, want Christian resurgence so that Islam doesn't take over? How do you want that, but tell them that what they believe is nonsense?
I guess the whole time I'm sitting there thinking, okay, this lady is going to ask him the question, why?
You're right.
Okay, why is it that you believe that? Why is it that living in a Christian culture is better?
Yeah.
Why didn't she ask that question?
Yeah, well, yeah. She kind of did. Like, she kind of went into why he was concerned about Islam taking over. But yeah, I mean, how can you believe, how can you say, I don't want to lose Christmas carols and beautiful churches, but I don't want any actual Christians to exist?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I wrote down a couple of these because I was trying to think of what's the best way to describe this.
Yeah. Yeah.
He wants to have his cake and eat it too, but also bakeries are dumb.
Yeah.
He has kicked out his own bucket from underneath him, and now he's hanging by the neck in the society that he advocated for.
Yeah.
He wants his bucket back. He wants the stool back.
It's a pretty ludicrous statement.
I read an article in the American Reformer, or this guy, Ben Dunson. He wrote, basically, you can call this sawing off the branch that holds you up. But I started thinking about this, the Francis Schaeffer quote, where, basically I think he says something like the modern atheist has both feet planted firmly in thin air. You're not standing on anything.
Yeah.
Here's another one. Richard Dawkins refuses to sleep in the bed that he's made. There's this famous argument, you know, from C.S. Lewis, the liar, lunatic, Lord,
yeah,
argument, where he's saying, like, because of what Jesus claimed and what he did, it's like he can't just be a good man.
Mm-hmm.
He's either liar, lunatic, or Lord. I think with Richard Dawkins, he's either liar, lunatic, or lazy. There's no way that he could really think this if he thought it through. Or maybe like liar, lunatic, or lousy. I don't know. But a couple of points. Let's get into the actual content here. This man has spent his whole career attacking Christianity and Christians. He has spent decades tearing down the foundation, and now he's worried that the house is falling. How absolutely unreal, unbelievable that he can think that we can keep Christian traditions, laws, values, culture, whatever, but not have any actual Christians. What does he think? That there will be people like foolishly devoted to maintaining these churches and preaching and teaching people if they don't actually believe it? How ignorant is that? And like I said,
and to be one of the leading voices.
Yes.
The cause of people turning away.
Yes.
From Christianity.
Yes.
And the one true God.
Yes.
And to come out and say that.
It makes me question his intelligence, yeah. honestly, that yeah. he could think
I
that.
I could see that, yeah.
Here's what he's saying. I really love living in a nice, warm home. I like the plumbing, and I like with all these comforts. I like having a nice, safe bed. I just don't like the foundation. We got to get rid of this foundation of the home. Or I like honey. I like the sweet taste in my mouth. I like to have it in my tea. I just love honey. I just don't think there can be any hives. There can't. The hives are bad. Oh, and all you bees are dumb.
Yeah.
I like the honey, though.
Yeah.
I mean, this is unbelievable. But what a change. Okay, yeah. So this yeah. guy, like you said, he has spent his whole career, he's made himself famous, really, attacking Christianity. He's probably, if I said it right now, he's probably the world's
yeah.
leading atheist.
He's like their God.
Yeah.
He really is. They cite him more than anyone else.
Yes. He is their leading voice.
Yeah.
This is the guy that wrote The God Delusion.
Yeah.
The book.
Yeah.
Okay. He has literally, in the past, literally, let me emphasize that, Jordan. He has literally called for and rallied fellow atheists to ridicule Christians for their beliefs. I mean, he has literally said that we need to mock them. And we need to ridicule and show contempt. And now this. What changed? So specifically, of course, this came up in response to UK being overrun with Muslims. And there was a sentiment that Ramadan should be celebrated instead of Easter. Apparently that's too far for Richard Dawkins.
Yeah.
But he's gotten older now. I mean, he's in his 80s, I think. And he's being forced to eat his own fruit. And it's rotten.
Good point. Good imagery.
You see, us humans, we are religious people. And that's just a fact. It always has been. Even if you don't believe in Christianity, no matter what you believe, you just look back through history and you know that people have always believed in something. Always. It's just part of our nature. Now, obviously, I think that's because that's how God designed us. That's what I think. Yeah. I think we're wired in some ways to mm-hmm. know that we are a creation and we desire to know the Creator.
Yeah.
But because of that, if you try to remove a religion from society, the vacuum will be filled with another one. And believe me, if you take Christianity out of society, it will leave a vacuum. But it turns out that you can't have it both ways. You can't have a moral standard without a moral standard. I mean, like I said, the Francis Schaeffer quote, oh, here it is. It's, modern man has both feet planted firmly in thin air. Talking about moral relativism, yeah. It just doesn't exist. There has to be some objective starting point. Otherwise, there is no good or evil. There is no good action. There is no evil action. And now Richard Dawkins is starting to see this too, but he's just unwilling to admit why. Now here's a shocker for you. It turns out you can't have a Christian society without actual Christians. You can live in the society that they built and enjoy it, love it, benefit from it. But if you take them out of it, it doesn't stay. Why? Because objective truth does exist. And if you want to act like it doesn't, then it blows up in your face and you have chaos, because that simply doesn't work. You have both feet planted firmly in thin air. You've got nothing to stand on. So,
Richie,
your worldview doesn't work, sir. And that's why you're saying this. Hey, and by the way, this is a side point. Is it any coincidence that societies with Christian worldviews and laws, like, or at least a Christian history founding, like, they produce the most desirable places to live?
Shocking.
Is that any
shocking
coincidence? Or is it just because God's way is best?
Yeah.
But Here was my biggest takeaway from this whole thing, okay? And I bet you people know where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
Richard Dawkins wants to live in a Christian nation.
Think about that.
Let me be very clear.
Let that marinate.
Let's underline the point. The world's leading atheist is a Christian nationalist. Is that just gold?
I mean, you can't,
it's gold, Jerry.
You honestly can't make this stuff up.
Oh man, the reality of the world. Yeah, just
the atheist God. I know that doesn't make any sense, but yeah. What he said doesn't make any sense.
No, we're all not making sense here.
No, we're not. And he's suggesting that he wants to live in a Christian nation.
So,
but their beliefs are asinine, and you know,
right.
People need to go away. Right. But we need
but for somehow this is the this yeah. is the right way to live. Though.
Right. Yeah.
So, all of you Christians out there that are not for Christian nationalism, Richard Dawkins is a bigger Christian nationalist than you are. Seriously though, like, all jokes aside, Richard Dawkins is a bigger Christian nationalist than some Christians today.
Yeah.
He doesn't understand it completely, and his reasons are wrong, like all of that, but he understands that it's okay to have a Christian nation, and he wants it. When an actual Christian is not okay with it, that's sad to me.
Red flag.
I mean, the world's most famous atheist is fine using the term Christian nation. So, for all you people that are against it, just give it time. Wait until we keep opening the borders so much and we keep shrinking ourselves down until we're facing a Muslim takeover in our own country, just like the UK is. And yeah, you might change your mind and call for Christian nationalism, just like the world's leading atheist just did. Now, when it comes to laws and things like that, okay, we said that he somehow gets this a little bit, that laws and culture should be Christian. The laws is the part that people don't get, I think. But laws can be Christian. And I say to you, they can and they should. Because what the people that complain about this don't really get is that they want to say that the Christian nationalist argument is that these laws are saving people. And that's, of course, not mm-hmm. what we're saying. Like, yeah. Can a Christian law save anyone? No. No. Just like the Bible says that you can't be saved by the law, right? We're all still sinners, and even if we have Christian laws, we'd all still be sinners. Can laws sanctify the heart? No. Only God does that. Only God does heart change. Yeah. But can laws change behavior? Yep. And so the laws are not our salvation, but they can be our guardrails. Galatians 3:24, it calls the law our guardian. It says that it was our tutor, right? It teaches us. The law points out to you, and it makes it clear that you can't live up to it. Specifically here when we're talking about the Old Testament law, it points out to you that you can't live up to it. That's one of the reasons that the law was given to the Israelites in the Old Testament. It points out your need for Christ, your need for God. That's why it's there. Because it holds up a mirror to you and says, oh, you think you're good? Look at this. And you see all the places that you fall short of God's standard. Well, in the same way, laws today can be guardrails for us and teach us about ourselves. So, for example, murder. It's illegal. And so if I want to murder someone, I'm obviously confronted with my own wrong desire. It's just objectively wrong. Well, what if it was legal? Unbelievers are less likely to see it as wrong then. Mm. Now, that's an extreme example, but think about abortion. We've told women for so long now that it's okay and it's not wrong. Well, Now many of them believe it's okay. But the fact is, it is murder. But, you know, we have told people for so long that it's actually okay. Now, I reject this kind of a thing. I would say, let the law prove to them that their actions are wrong, rather than let an unjust law give them the false justification for their evil actions. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
So, Romans 3:20. By works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. The law points out our sin. And that's why so many want unjust laws today, because they don't have to confront the knowledge of sin.
Mm.
And so I would just end it by saying this is our duty. We can put righteous laws in place, and I think it's our duty. I think it's our duty to legislate morally. I mean, we already do this to some degree. Why would we not, you know? Laws of the land should reflect God's laws.
Hmm.
Why? Because there are no other. There are no other laws. If we think right now we have a law against murder, why is murder wrong? If God is not true, if Scripture is not true, then there is no moral objective standard, and there is no reason why murder is wrong. If the evolutionary worldview is correct, well, then that's how we all got here anyway. Natural selection, survival of the fittest. So why would we outlaw that practice?
Yep.
Because it's not wrong
in
that worldview. It's wrong because God says it's wrong.
Yep.
And so we already have some laws that are Christian laws anyway. I mean, all laws are God's rules. They are not human. There are no human laws. Otherwise, you're standing on thin air.
Mm.
One human disagrees with the law, or it changes, then you've got no standard.
Mm.
And eventually, you're the world's leading atheist, and you're begging for Christianity to come back on live TV. I mean, that's where you end up. All laws, morality, good versus evil, everything, all of it is God's. It's not ours. It's not humans. And so I would say I'm a Christian nationalist because I'm not a humanist.
Mm.
I don't follow a humanist worldview.
Mm.
My biblical worldview forces me to be.
Mm.
So I would say join us and let's fight.
Yeah.
Let's fight together. So that's all I've got. But man, you knew we had to cover this because that is just...
Oh, Richie.
That is so crazy.
Oh, Richie.
Unbelievable.
Mm.
I'm starting to wonder if, like, in his old age, he's getting...
Starting to come around a little bit.
Yeah, you know how some people get, you know, when you become a grandfather, you see people like, you know, I see even our dads, right? More soft, more sensitive, and you know, you get that.
Oh, sure.
So,
she should have asked him. She said, "So, Dr. Dawkins or whatever, Richie.
Yeah.
If Jesus did in fact raise from the dead, what does that mean for you?"
Yeah. Well, he's done all sorts of debates and stuff with Christians before, so I'm sure he's been presented with that question.
But I'm sure he'll spin it. But like, well, he didn't. But no.
Yeah.
If he did, what does that mean for you?
Yeah. So
what do you do with that?
The question I would have liked to have asked him is, hey, you seem to be saying that you like living in a Christian country, Christian culture, and you seem to believe that that kind of culture is superior to all others. Why is that? What do you think that means? Like, that's what I would have liked to have asked him. You know. But anyway, yeah, you knew we had to talk about that, guys. Hope you've enjoyed it. Richard Dawkins, the world's leading atheist, begging for Christianity to come back. Amazing. We'll talk to you next time on Bulletproof Faith.
Thank you.